Today's episode is brought to you by the support of Furno Grills. What's up, everybody? I am podcast host and restaurateur Brad Barmore. I have had the opportunity to cook on a lot of things, guys. Kettle grills, offset smokers, pellet grills, open pits, reverse flows, gravity smokers, cabinets, ugly drums. My Furno is hands down the best grill I have ever cooked on. You know, with gas grills, most folks get caught up in the BTUs, but it's really how well you can control and hold the heat that matters. And Furno grills happen to be a revolution in gas grilling and the ultimate cooking machine for the backyard cook, as they are designed and engineered with firewheel technology for the ultimate in precision heat control. Furno is the only gas grill with height-adjustable burners, custom cast iron grates, and a fully insulated hood so you can sear without burning or cook slow and low to perfection. I've done steaks, burgers, chops, veggies, oysters, salmon, briskets, chicken, pork butts, tri-tips. Yeah, I cooked them all on the Furno, and it has impressed me every time. Plus, it looks modern and really sleek in the backyard. It is unlike any grill I've seen out there. Project Smoke, Steve Reichlin, Forbes Magazine, AspiringGentleman.com are all raving about what the Furno grills are doing to change the grilling game. Check them out on Instagram at Furno Grills, or for even more information, including recipes and financing options, head to www.furnogrills.com.
That's something that sounds like it might happen.
Yep. All right. Well, no, that's it.
Sports.
Episode over.
Oh, no. Sports Meets Beer Podcast. We're just surrounded by tomfoolery, people. Just complete fuckery and tomfoolery.
Butt fuckery and everything in between.
All of it. All of it. Knuckle fuckery.
That's deep. Get it?
Boy, do I ever.
Oh, man. There was such a bad dad joke earlier. That I told Rocky, she made a joke, and I go, that's not even a dad joke. That's a stepdad joke.
Oh, goodness gracious.
That's the subcategory of those happening right now. Jokes, that is.
Oh, God. Yeah, well, I mean, stepdads have to have jokes too, I guess.
Apparently. The timing of that couldn't have been any fucking better.
I think it was perfect. Oh, man. You know what else the timing of is perfect for right now? An introduction. This is the Sports Meets Beer Podcast. I am Brad Ballmore. That is Ben Perry. We are recording live at Kin Restaurant in Windsor, a place where we have not recorded very often, I don't think.
We've done a few tests. So keep in mind, we're in the, you know, we're 500, 600 episodes in at this point.
At least a thousand.
This was a spot for a while. This was a go-to place in this back room. Here's the difference. Life is so much easier with this portable recorder.
Yes.
I mean, remember before, laptop, mixer, mics, we used to have a converter to go from analog to digital. It was just, I mean, this process was just crazy.
Yeah.
And for all the equipment we bought this as very simple, very sleek, very nice.
It's the size of my foot.
Yes.
I have a very small geisha foot.
It's all right. It's, you know, it's bound up in wood. It's fine. But no, it's unbelievable. But we have recorded here before. I think the equipment kind of hindered us in years past.
Yes.
So yes, we've recorded here before. Yes, it's been a while.
Yes.
God damn, it feels good to be here.
Yeah. Yeah. All of those things are true. I have nothing to add
yes.
to that.
Yes.
I have nothing to add to that in any capacity. You know what I do? I am having a real problem with right now. I caught my shirt on the black wrought iron fence. I was talking to some people at the patio, and I reached across to shake somebody's hand, and my shirt got caught on the point of one of the wrought iron things and ripped a button right out. And so now, when I sit down,
but it's a fat guy button.
It pops open, and my fucking belly button sticks out, and so I just feel like such a fucking.
The worst part is that it's the fat guy button,
and it's staring you right in the face.
Well,
you're trying so hard to not look at it right now.
The fat guy button is a mythical thing. People don't understand. When you have a couple extra pounds on you, that button miraculously will unbutton itself sometimes when you're doing activity. Well, now you're making it worse. Now you look like a fat cholo. Jesus.
Oh, God.
Well, there we go. We got this
queso paso ese.
Yeah. So big shout out. Furno Grills, thanks for sponsoring us. Whether you wanted to or not,
yeah.
This is what you're getting.
This isn't the content we signed up for.
Yeah.
Well, you don't get fat guy buttons without cooking on a Furno grill.
Ooh, way to turn that around.
Oh, goodness. Check us out on all the social medias, guys. That's the Facebook, the Instagram, the Twitter. It's at Sports Meets Beer. You can also email the show, sportsmeetsbeer@gmail.com. That's meets
like the protein.
M-E-A-T-S, sportsmeetsbeer@gmail.com. We're going to taste some beer today. That's what we're going to do. Ben does not look excited about one of these beers that we're going to have.
One of the three just looks like something I had about 6 hours earlier or 4 hours earlier.
We're about 6 hours now, going on seven.
All right.
Well. So this is the Laughing Monk out of San Francisco.
Yeah, who's laughing now?
Not us, I don't think. So this is called Science.
So let's preface this. Let's back this train up. Laughing Monk is a very small brewery out of San Francisco. They do a very good job at a lot of different styles. Not a ton of Belgian, necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
They do really clean, really, when I say the word simple, right? I'm not talking about like Simple Jack. I'm talking about the beers are just so clean and so well noted. It's not overly complex, but that's a good thing. I'm trying to pay them a compliment.
Generally, everything I've had from Laughing Monk has been awesome.
Exactly.
Generally, yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
Until today.
Yeah. So what? So did you look at any research on what this beer is?
No, I didn't. My palate did all the research I needed to do.
So it's called Science.
Yes.
And it's
my body has officially turned its back on science.
Yeah, we're all about coulda, not shoulda. So apparently this is made with a different yeast strain. And it gives it like this. I think it's an IPA. We're going to have to probably look that up.
We might want to.
Continue. But it's made with a different yeast strain that gives it like a crazy herbaceous and grassy note. And the first time we're going to taste it again here in a second so you can hear our real reaction. But the first time I tasted it, I thought it was using poorly executed spruce tips. Like they, you know, like that was a thing for a while to use spruce tips in beers, and it just, to me, it had a similar note to that, but it was poorly done. And then I found out that that's not at all what it is, which means that whatever it was that they were doing is incredibly poorly done. Sorry, I didn't mean to Jonathan Gold you right there.
You totally did. So they used a new yeast strain that incorporates genes extracted from basil and mint plants to produce some amazing flavor additions. I'm going to go ahead and disagree with this Untappd review. Big shout out to, let's see who did this one. No, this is their own, actually. I'm sorry. This is from them. They said, control is beautifully clean. I'm going to disagree entirely. So they don't say, my thing is, I'd like to know what the yeast, I don't know. So it sounds like you're using an extract in any capacity, whether it's in the yeast strain or in the brew process. You're introducing it with the yeast. You're introducing it to the beer previously before the fermentation process, right? So it's going into the wort,
right?
So again, you can use smaller amounts of it. You can use an extract. You can use a higher potency, and a little is gonna go a long way. But this thing is...
It's like drinking a pesto that they forgot to put... Other one. They forgot to put the garlic and pine nuts into.
Ooh.
It's just oily, basil-y mess.
So when I first got a... I ordered this... Let's rewind 6 hours.
Diddly-doo, diddly-doo, diddly-doo.
Sit in the bar. It's one of your rotating draft of the minute. Copyright, kidding. Restaurants, at bar management.
D-R-A-U-G-H-T.
Of course, like a Draft King.
Right.
So ordered one because I always like to try something new. And I got such a like overwhelming dank weed. I thought for sure it was going to be a weed tribute style beer.
Like Ron Burgundy in a bear pit. He immediately regretted that decision.
Yes. But I was like, okay, this is really danky. And I, person next to me, I'm like, hey, you know, it's a friend of mine, try this out. She drank it. Same thing. She's like, ah, no, it is dank for sure.
Yes.
And then when you came over and you're like, all I heard was blabbity blabbity blah basil. And I went, fuck, that's what it was. It was such an, like, at that point now, I might as well have had a basil lollipop soaked in basil syrup. that I chased with a basil shot, because that's all it was. That was just over the top basil, and it's just like, you know, when you lose a baseball in a big patch of basil, and you like basil plant itself, the raw plant, and you go in and you touch the plant, and just everything you rub, your clothes, everything smells like basil. That's exactly how I felt with my palate. Everything, just everything at that point.
Yeah, I didn't find it to be like, well, I should be clear about it. I'm not, you know what? Let's go through the AATMF on this thing real quick, and then we can kind of work our way through
it. Totally fine.
Just because, you know.
So Laughing Monk does a really good job. They are the unhazy hazy, right? They filter their beers, and
God
even
bless
when
them.
Even when they are the hazy we did have, it was filtered. Lightly filtered, gently filtered, however you want to phrase it. But this is, you know, appearance on this thing, on the AATMF. If you're writing this down at home, that is appearance, aroma, taste, mouthfeel, finish. It's a filtered beer. It's great. It looks golden color, delicious.
Nice, clear. There's decent bubbles. I mean, you see bubbles in it? Yeah.
Believe it or not, we actually poured this beer, which is also why it's way more aromatic right now.
20 minutes
ago. So the beer's still cool to the touch. But we're getting so much more. The nose has opened up on this thing, because as soon as I picked it up off the tray, I could easily get the basil hammer. It does still have a little bit of, and maybe because I like the smell of weed so much, but it's one of those things. It does smell a little weedish, but it is basil. There's no mistaking that aroma.
But I will say this: this is the second time that I've had this beer. The first time that I had it, I could not shake the finish. This isn't lingering nearly as long as I remember tasting it the other day.
It's drier, much drier.
Yeah.
Which led me to believe on my first sip, super like cotton mouthy. That's why I went lean more towards the dank profile.
Right.
And thought, okay, this is a tribute beer. This is, you know, I mean, all the different years at Lagunitas. I mean, trust me, I tried my fair share of weed beers.
That's all they freaking make, isn't it?
Yeah. Pretty much. But this was a little different. But that dryness at the end, it's almost punishing.
Oh, see, I don't find the dryness to be punishing. But I just,
it's,
I can't.
It's Cottonmouth City for me.
See, I don't get that. But I can't get the herb, grass, basil note out of, like, I can't get that out of my nose. That's the biggest thing for me. Like, I don't find it to be overly drying. I don't find it to be, like, you called it Cottonmouth. I don't find that to be the case. I think, you know, the color is pleasing. Actually, yeah, it's the nose that kills this for me, because the body is fine on this beer. The carbonation level is good on this beer. And I don't find that the finish is all that displeasing. It's just all I can sense is that basil herb. That's it.
Yeah, that's all I get out of it. That's it.
Yeah. So if you're out cruising around, you see the Laughing Monk Science, just go ahead and let it, just accept that we did the experiment for you.
Yeah, yeah. I would go lean to the left or lean to the right of Science, and don't go down that path.
Right.
If they have another offering, by all means, jump right in.
Yes.
It's, at this point, a 99% guarantee it's going to be delicious. This beer just happened not be for us.
Right.
Which is tough. Because that's a bold statement.
Yeah, looking at these two fat bastards sitting here to say that a beer's not for us.
Popping buttons on my shirt.
That pisses me off. It's like one of my favorite shirts.
You know they make extra buttons on the bottom just so you can stitch one in, right?
I know, but I don't have the ability to do that like in the middle of dinner service.
Well, of course not. Of course not. Of course not.
But here it
is. Yeah, you're showing me something.
I've never seen the underside of your belly. That's weird. Wow. Is that popcorn? There's popcorn in there.
How did I see buttons and inverted nipples at the same time?
Looks like a movie theater seat cushion under there. All right, this is the
10,000 asses in it and all kinds of stains.
Yeah, just popcorn and butter and a penny. It squeaks when you sit on it.
Yeah.
This is from Three Disciples.
Oh, man. Local guys just opened a tap room here in town, Santa Rosa.
Yeah.
Have you been yet?
I haven't.
Me either, because, you know, we have kids.
Right. So this beer is from Three Disciples.
It's interesting. They are doing, like, they're trying to do a little bit of everything in there. I'm not talking about the beer. I'm talking about their tap room. They're doing like a comedy night, followed by a metal night, followed by a fucking country night. Like they're grabbing at every genre.
Country night
possible.
Can go fuck itself.
Well, that's usually what happens on country nights,
right?
In the parking lot over a bale of hay.
Cousins, brothers and sisters, and dogs and cats living together,
talking about it's love,
mass
a little
hysteria.
Bit of love.
Well, good for them. I mean, the fact that like every review that you read about restaurants in Sonoma County right now, like all like a new restaurant, I should say, like whether it's in Bike Club Eats or it's actually in the paper proper or whatever it is, always starts. Thank God it's not another tap room or yet another tap room that's opening in Sonoma right. County. So good for them for branching out and trying to do something different. It's not like your standard like oversized Jenga, cornhole, and ladder golf.
Well, that's the thing is like, you know, the beer garden concept. We've had this conversation off mic. The friendship switch was on. But the whole point is like the beer garden thing is the beer garden thing. It's tired at this point.
Yeah, you're not blazing new trails.
No. I mean, if you have a great space and there's a need, by all means, jump in with 2 feet and buy extra sets of Jenga and buy the Connect Four and everything you need.
Yeah.
But if you're in an area where there's like new cuisine, new style, then you're going to miss out. You'll be busy in the summer. Don't get me wrong. It's, you know, when you have a great spot, a great patio, you're always going to be busy as long as you're putting out decent food and decent service. But it's at this point now where everyone's kind of mailing it in. Like,
yeah, why do the same thing that everybody's already been
right.
doing?
I mean, if you're going to one brewery on one side of town and another brewery on another side of town and they have the exact same games and the exact same, you know, I mean, let's be honest, same look of the bartender, the same feel. Like,
yeah.
There needs to be something different.
Yes.
I think one of the better... As far as in Northern California, especially Sonoma County proper, one of the best environments is out in the Barlow. And that's quite honestly at like Crooked Goat and in the there's the Golden State Cider Tap Room. It's
Seismic's
merely,
out there now.
Seismic's out there as well. It's merely because they don't need kitchens to support the tap rooms. The tap rooms can, and they don't need food trucks.
Because it's part of a larger community there.
Yeah,
it's an
entire community. It's a really great idea. And the POS system, very well thought out. You can order your food directly from your server at your place. For if you want sushi and your friend wants a burrito, guess what? You can get both on the same tab, and they run it over to you. It's brilliant.
That is brilliant.
It's one of those things where I'm sure other cities have been doing this for a long time, but for this area here, especially, everything was always so isolated as far as like restaurant talk. No one wanted to let other people in. They don't want to share secrets. They don't want to share revenue. They'd rather everything. There's a fence around everything.
It's such a lame, like old school French chef type of just bull crap.
Right.
The more the merrier, man.
Exactly. And it's like, hey, this is a tailgate. People, you know,
unless you know you're opening the exact same thing you already own in the backyard of a restaurant you already own, but not with the restaurant you already own.
Right.
That's stupid.
That's silly. But at the same time, it's one of those things. I think that's great. I think there's a little transparency and a little honesty is great, and I think it's, you know, if you could sit there and if you're, involved in a community of restaurants and breweries and wine rooms and everything else, like, why not? Why not do that?
Well, circling back, you know, sort of, I mean, why not do that in terms of the Barlow? Absolutely. Right. But circling back to the Three Disciples thing that we were talking about with all the stuff they're doing in their tap room.
Yes.
Like, they're trying to get ahead of what the average tap room is doing. And so I applaud them for that.
And they have the space for it, too. And they're also... Let's be honest, they're in a struggling part of town. Downtown is not thriving.
Yeah. And so, you know,
they're even worse. They're off downtown. They're a few blocks away, which, it, you know, in San Francisco, a few blocks means nothing.
Right.
In Sonoma County, 3 blocks.
You may as well be on the moon.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, for me, like the tap room thing, like the beer garden, all that stuff, like, don't jump in and do what everybody else is doing. You're making great beer. You're offering great service. Well, who the fuck cares? Like, what makes you unique?
Right.
Like, that's the thing. Like, be unique. Get out in front of it, right? Like, you know, we have this argument in our restaurant group all the time. Like, just commit to being unique. Just because it's the way that it's always been, or the way that this is the way that everyone's doing it, doesn't mean that that's the way you have to do it. So, like, when we first opened Kin, we were making smash burgers, and it was decided that that's not what we were going to do anymore because nobody liked it. And so I showed up to work one day, and there was a regular charbroil grill at work, and so we were grilling burgers. And guess what we're doing in our other restaurant now? Fucking smash burgers. Like, you have to commit to being ahead of things. Yes. Right? Just to, like, do it, commit to it, people will be excited.
I love smash burgers.
And now everybody's doing smash burgers, right? But the point was, this is not almost 9 fucking years ago.
Right.
Right. And so it's a very tangential way we've gone about applauding Three Disciples for.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, like,
Here's the thing.
Who's doing Metal Knight? Who's doing Metal Knight?
Nobody.
Now,
nobody.
Yeah.
So.
And hopefully it's like, I mean, as much as I love me, like, some Pantera or Slayer or something like that, hopefully it's like fucking, you know, Wasp. Like, you know, like, no, that kind of like 80s metal.
It's going to be way more like, around here especially, it's more like Hesher metal, where it's just this, you know, it's a lot of China splash cymbals and a lot of ride, just like, tons of cymbals.
Yeah,
tons of double kick and just, you know, whatever. It'll be fine. I mean, hey, dude, trust me. You know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, I would have loved the Metal Knight. I would have gone all the time.
Yeah,
I would love. I love it now. I just happen to have 2 liabilities laying in their beds.
And back in the day, you pretty much guaranteed for the most part that it was just going to be guys like me and you there for
exactly.
Metal Knight.
We'd be the hottest ones of the bunch. Well, we could complete a sentence.
Considering my button situation,
yeah,
is it hard to argue?
Hard. Exactly.
All right, so this is called Meet the Simcoes. It's a hazy IPA. Comes in at 6.8% ABV. What was the one? Was it Mosaic? Was that the
Mosaic's
beer that we recently
hot,
did?
Yeah,
where
yeah,
it was
yeah.
like
the one
single,
hot beer.
Yeah, the single hot beer that we weren't really in love with.
Well, so, it's just that it had been done a few times at that point.
Right. And so this is Meet the Simcoes. Now, what Simcoe hop generally is carrying what kind of characteristic? Is that some?
That's going to be, you're going to have a little bit of citrus. You're going to have, it's kind of like, it's a great crossover hop. It's, you've got some citrus, you've got some pine, but you're not definitive on both. It's not over the top. Mosaic has that earthiness to it that just, it feels a little dirty in the mouthfeel.
Right.
The Simcoe is a little more elegant, and it's a little crisper, and it's just, it's got really good notes to it, and it's sticky, right? It's sticky. It's got a great mouthfeel. It's kind of like it's a great starter hop for someone who really wants to understand what hops is about, right? You're not going into like, you know, someone says, I really want to try more beers, and you go, well, here's a double hop bomb. You know, you're going to lose them every time, but approaching something delicate like this hop and this beer, this is a great starter beer. This is a great beer.
So as we go through the AATMF here, the appearance, aroma, taste, mouthfeel, finish, it's a hazy. It's the yellowy gold, pale yellowy gold hazy. It's not super thick. You can see some light through it. The aroma.
This is just so we're clear. 10 years ago, this would be looked at and someone would be like, "Oh, you're drinking a Widmer."
Yes.
Like it looks like a German wheat beer.
The aroma is really underwhelming to me.
Yeah, there's not much to it. I mean, but it's also if it's a one hop beer, there's not going to be a ton of.
Well, I'm not looking for a lot of complexity, but I would like to know immediately that it's a Simcoe. You know what I mean? Like, I would like to immediately recognize what.
Just chunks missing out of this.
Yeah, well, you've been holding it so close to your.
Apparently,
I would like to know immediately that this is like a Simcoe or whatever. That's not the case here. Like, I don't get a ton of nose on it, which is disappointing. For being a hazy, I think the mouthfeel or the body on this, the mouthfeel on this is pretty light.
It is. The hop presence is unexpected for a hazy, categorized hazy beer. You don't normally get this. Normally, the hazies are so muted and they're so troublesome. I think this is a nice departure, to be honest. I think this is great. I mean, I'm okay with the getting mild aroma notes versus over the top.
Yes.
Guava, citrus, tangerine, pine, you know, all the ones we've been dealing with hazies. It's great to have a little bit of departure.
As muted as this is, I would like the mouthfeel to be lighter, even. Like, I would look for some. I would like this to be like a like just like a regular old filtered ale. Give me something with a little bit more carbonation to it. Let this thing, you know, just be like a lawnmower beer, really, and not this. It's not overly juicy, but I just the mouthfeel of it, the texture of it, it's just too rich for me.
A little thick.
It's a little thick. You know, for what you're trying to accomplish with just being a Simcoe, like a single hop beer, like you want that hop to show off all its complexity, and I think you might be doing it a disservice in this capacity.
It's so tough to do a single hop beer because you want to hit, a single, a double, and a triple, and a home run all in the same time, and that's really difficult.
Right.
I mean, physically speaking, it's impossible. But in this case with beer, it's really it's hard. It's hard to sit there and try to be like, well, we got to have aroma, but not too much aroma. You got to have this, but not too much of this. And this, I can see how underwhelming the aroma is. And it doesn't, there's a little bit of discourse between the aroma and the taste and the mouthfeel.
Right.
You definitely, it jumps up a speed. It's like a very short on-ramp into a freeway. You got to get going or you're going to get tossed on the shoulder.
Like getting on 101 North from 580.
From anywhere. And 101 North from any ramp. But it's one of those things where if you can get up to speed quickly, you can enjoy the beer. And I think it's good. It's got a decent finish. I feel like you definitely know it's a one hop beer.
Right.
But it's not a bad thing. I think it's nice. And it finishes. I'm not getting a ton of aftertaste. At all.
Yeah,
I'm not getting out. It's not sitting on my palate. It's doing a good job.
I think that this thing walks what is already a very fine line of being a one hop beer or a one noted beer. And that's not necessarily what you want. Even if you're making a single hop beer, you don't want it to be one noted. You want multiple things.
Right.
And this is dangerously close to being one noted.
Think about if they had a little bit more malt in the nose, a little bit more balance in the nose, it would have such a better story besides it, the story falling short in the nose.
Right.
Because it's just not, there's nothing there.
Right.
But I think it's good. I think it's a good beer that this is a, you know, single hop beers are really, really, really good. These are like, if you're going to have a beer before dinner and you really can't make a decision, this is a great beer to do that with. It's not terribly offensive. It's not over the top. So it's not going to taint, like if you decide to have salad or if you decide to have a T-bone steak, whatever the case is, you're going to be safe in this decision. That to say, I don't think it's going to pair well with food. It's too one-noted for that. But I think this beer does what it says. It's a one-hop beer.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's not unpleasant. It's just,
it's like me on a treadmill. When I say I do 30 minutes, I have 10 minutes of warm-up and 10 minutes of cool-down, so I'm really only doing 10 minutes of hard cardio.
Trust me,
that cardio is hard.
It's not unpleasant. It's just unremarkable. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So I'll check you out for Metal Night, but I may not be checking you out for this beer again.
No, and I think we owe ourselves a service to go down there. We'll bring this hidden recorder, and we'll just do some stuff.
This hidden recorder. I'll wear my spy glasses.
I'm already wearing them.
Mine?
No, these glasses have cameras in them.
All right, let's taste this next beer. This one that you found somewhere, and the name of it caught your eye. And it caught my eye as well, because I thought it said Black Face, but it actually says Black Rice. And we have no idea what this is. It's by Anderson Valley, Ball Hornin since 1987, whatever the fuck that means. And this the packaging is interesting. It's a black can. It's got the bear with the antlers.
Some Japanese characters on there.
Allegedly Japanese characters.
It does say hot sluts.
3.8% ABV.
So if the listener has anyone ever asked me, one of my favorite beers I've ever had is a black IPA. It's from 21st Amendment Brewing. They're back in black IPA. It's one of my favorite beers. If I have a top five list, it's on the five, to say the least. Your face, we gotta have better poker faces.
it doesn't smell good.
We have to do a better job poker facing this.
Yeah, because now
we have to record, we're gonna do the Shatner couch where we're like facing away from each other or something weird.
The Shatner couch. It's tough because you just looked at me.
We're across the table from each other and you have a button seductively undone. What do you want me to do?
I'm trying to cover that. I smell some diacetyl. Oh,
yeah. No, it's bad. Yeah, that's not a very good smell.
I smell a little diacetyl in it.
I don't get diacetyl, but I do get, like, if you would think, like, watery espresso. I get this weird, like, small little bit of coffee, but really not just watered down coffee. I mean, it's 3.9%. We're not expecting a...
It smells like they burnt the popcorn and buttered it anyway.
Ooh. Boy, the joke's on me because I got four more of these in the car.
This is a disaster.
It's a really bad beer.
This is one of the bottom three beers we've tasted on this show.
Well, let's go through the AATMF and explain why it's one of the worst three.
I would rather drink the E4040.
Than this?
Than this.
I think 40 feels the same way.
You love the 40, so I know that's not like a profound statement to you, but...
This is...
oh, my God.
So, think of a malty beer that doesn't have malt. Think of a hoppy beer that has no hops. And this is not... No,
Garth,
no,
that was a haiku.
No way this is a haiku at all. This really has nothing to offer. It's makes an attempt. From looking at it, it looks like it's an adjunct lager that is going to have toasted, roasted malt. Right, so an adjunct lager, if you don't know, you're basically using what's famously known as the corn syrup for Coors Light, Miller Lite. It was in the Super Bowl ad for a long time.
You're using like rice or...
Right, corn or rice is your main component.
I suppose your standard like cereal grains.
Right. Anheuser-Busch has been known for a long time. They are a rice-based brewery. It's that simple. When I drink their beers, I get a headache instantly.
Yeah.
Guess who has a headache right now just from this?
Yeah.
So the rice adjunct lager is, this is what they're doing. That's the backbone of this. So it's limited malt. It's limited grain. That's the filler.
It's limited quality.
Yeah.
Limited success.
No limit soldier. So as we said, the aroma on this, I had a little bit of a watered down espresso. A little bit of coffee, like a little bit, like there's a little toasted malt in there, enough to want to make you dive in.
Who allowed this to get out of the brewery? Who there thought this was a great beer?
I think they thought it was a good beer. I think they thought it was something. It's a different. At this point now, there are more SKUs of canned beer on the shelf than there are bottles. That's just a fact. It's scientific.
Yeah, that's.
Fact. But in this case, you have breweries who are, in this case, I went to a local store. This was not a chain store. This is a local grocery store. They're looking to fill SKUs, and they're looking to create a demand. And small companies like this, much to like what 21st Amendment, when they first came to market, I said, this is a great point of difference. There's no black IPAs out there. Period.
Right.
IPAs were on the uptick. It was going crazy.
Right.
All you needed was the word IPA, and your beer would sell. For some reason, no one really globbed onto the black IPA. I don't know what that is. But all I can tell you is that they're trying to create a subcategory, a point of difference, right? Whether it's with the can, with the description, whatever it is, they're trying to create an interruption, and it just doesn't work. It does not work. This one certainly
does not.
No.
And I mean,
I wouldn't even cook with this.
To me, it feels like this is the thing that they made, and we're like, well, we'll see if people like it.
We can't throw it away.
Yeah, that's what it feels like to me.
A little bit. And you know,
Anderson Valley is way more talented than this garbage.
Are they?
I think so.
When's the last Anderson Valley beer you had that you were over the top over?
I like the Goza that they make.
Goza's good.
Give me the Yank. I like the Summer Solstice.
I'm not a big solstice guy. The winters yet. And it's too creamsicle-y.
I don't like the winter as much as I like the summer solstice.
Okay.
Fair
enough. You know, I'm underwhelmed by Anderson Valley in general.
Yeah.
Great people, very nice. I've met them on several occasions. They don't make my favorite beer.
Yeah, you've definitely voiced your opinions on the Boont Amber.
Oh, God.
It's the last surviving amber, and it's the same keg that all the bars that pour are pouring from. It's from one keg.
One keg in the the shallows of Santa Rosa.
And somebody orders it, so he's got to go run and go get the keg and bring it to the restaurant.
I got to go downtown.
Oh, God.
Anyways, big miss here, Anderson Valley. Not a good. Should we do a joke on the river? Should we bring this to Danny and be like, no, this is really good, and see what he has to say? Should we do that?
No, because I don't want it like to affect it. Like, what are we going to do at the end of the show? Be like, just kidding, this beer's terrible, you're an idiot.
No, we could do it. Be like, hey, we brought two in, we'll do this one first. We could totally tee it up to where, like, hey, we'll just try this one.
I don't want to have to try it again. It's really bad.
Well, you could do the fake sip. Just put it to your lips and that's it.
You know, I can't do that.
I know. Well, Anderson Valley, you fucked up on this one. Man, Laughing Monk.
Yeah, nothing we really drank today. I mean, you have a Coors Light that tastes like a Stella over there. We have fucking...
I don't know what's going on.
Our pets' heads are falling off.
This is bullshit. Yeah. SD cards aren't working.
Holy SD moly. Cards working just fine now. It's the micro. It's the micro SD that wasn't working so good.
No one likes a micro penis.
Oh, I know.
Even in your SD card, no one likes it.
I know.
Well, we appreciate everyone listening. Check out this episode. Listen to it again if you want to hear this debauchery. Share
just
want to
hear just disappointed fat men like, oh, man. Yeah.
I wanted to get together and drink beer with my friend, and it's all bad.
It's all bad. Listen to this podcast and all the podcasts that we've done, including our NFL preview, including some Allagash beers that we tasted recently, including some... I don't even remember what else.
About a lot of things. NFL predictions are a big one for us. We streamlined that episode just so you, the listener, don't have to go through 3 hours of us pontificating on who's going to win. We streamlined that thing down to 40 minutes. Check that episode out. Also, other podcasts to check out. Write this one down. You've got Stay Golden, an upcoming Warriors podcast. You've got Outside Slants, a 49ers podcast. We got Black and Azul. They're on the team, right?
Not yet.
Okay. Don't listen to them just yet.
Based Mode
Pod, a great barbecue podcast.
Yeah. That's with friend of this pod, Kyle Castillo, a.k.a. Pickles. And, those episodes are dropping every Wednesday. Outside Slants comes out Wednesday and Thursday every week. And Stay Golden is currently in the recording process. So as soon as
the
Warriors training camp opens, you'll see a bunch of content dropping from that as well. That's with friend of the pod, Steve Osborne. And
basically, if you come on our show and become a friend of the pod, you're going to get your own podcast. That's what this means.
Sorry, Kevin.
Oh, insurance podcast?
Is that an insurance podcast.
Oh, he would love that.
Yeah, protection first.
Gosh.
No glove, no love.
Oh, my God. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. Again, big shout-out to our sponsor, Furno Grills. Sports meets